Can you tell me a little bit about this series of books and how you became involved?
Arcadia is nationally known, and they are based in South Carolina. The way we got into it was I had seen a lot of these around. When we started this book, there was 7,500 titles throughout the United States. On the last page of the book, page 128, is always a map of the United States with little dots on it that show where different books are. And when we finished the book, there was over 8,000 books. So it went up that much just in the little time we did the book.
When you flip through this book, what it is really is a bunch of amazing photographs with captions that tell the story of that picture and of that time. How did you gather this information? Where did you find the pictures? How did you get the stories?
Most of Peonia's pictures came from their museum here. That's another story with the photos. They require a certain format for photos, not JPEG photos. We could not use those. So many photos now are copied that way or sent by email. We could not use those. They had to be original photos, and if I had the original, I scanned it to TIFF format. So I was very limited on some of the chapters on pictures I could use. In the Bowie chapter, I went and visited Robert Bud Bowie and had a really great visit with him, very interesting and informative. I learned a lot about coal mining. He was thrilled to death to share his family's photos with me. The Somerset chapter likewise had another person in the valley, Bill Bear. Bill and Terry Bear donated pictures to us. In my Hotchkiss and Lazier chapters, I pretty well I'm a new member of our museum. I've been a member of the Historical Society in Hotchkiss for about 3 years. So I just scoured the boxes and boxes and boxes of pictures that we had. And because I could not use the JPEG photos, I really had to search.
I would like to mention the North Fork Historical Society. My father rescued the glass plates that the photographs from W.S. Edwards in 1910 or that circa. And they were in Max Fountain's photo shop, and they were dismantling the shop. And Max had a very nice file there. And my dad, when he saw them, he knew they were going to be hauled to the Peonia dump. So he said, we must save these. And they were saved. And then they became the possession of the North Fork Historical Society with Wally Eubanks as the curator. And he was here for a number of years up until, I believe, 1974 to pretty current times. So those glass plates and the negatives were developed and by Laddie Livingston and Wally Eubanks, and they formed the collection, and they have just binders full. There are three binders full of, large numbers of pictures.
Wow. What do you think makes this area unique?
Well, the beauty, of course, and driving up here this morning from Hotchkiss, I just felt, oh man, this is home. But I do believe it is the people. The people you just can't beat. They are so helpful and friendly, and think we can work as a community so much. We're not so much one. We're many different varieties of people, types of people. We all have different views, but we do seem to work together pretty well.
I think that people are really invested in the community here, and they just want to support the community and the endeavors in the community, and that just makes for a wonderful mix and an effective mix.
Do you think it's always been that way? Just looking back and throughout history?
There, I feel like it has now. Peonia and Hotchkiss have always had a little rivalry with schools, but in the end, we'll pull for each other You know, if one gets to go to state in basketball, boy, the other one is right there behind them to root them on. So we do, I think it's always been that way, and I think that's what makes it work.
I think pioneers had to help each other to be successful. The conditions in the early times, it just demanded that neighborliness, and that I think has transferred. We still have clubs on many of the mesas in Peonia that are just local for the mesa, and they had the outreach there to their membership, and it was wonderful. I might mention the Bell Creek Club, which was at one time a private club, and they later opened the Bell Creek 2 dances for the public, but they always did preserve the private club, and they were rather remarkable people.
Can you talk about any historical rivalries between families or clubs or farms? Did you encounter any stories where it got a little bit Wild West out here?
The thing that comes to my mind is the sheep industry had a problem at one time with grazing rights and such in the forest, but that was settled, and nowadays it's regulated very well, and so when the sheep go in and graze the forest, it's very well regulated, so everybody's happy, I think.
I would like to speak to water. Of course, it is an issue now with especially the eastern slope, but it always has been an issue, and initially the valley was just sagebrush, and it was quite dry, and there were many ditches developed and that type of thing, but there always was an issue about who had that water and how it was used. And we had a gunman up here, Sam Angevine, and he was always fighting about the water, and he actually shot somebody over the water. And I know even out on my mesa today that one time we had to have the sheriff come and talk about the water. So the water has always been an issue in the valley.
Did you encounter anything that really has not changed since the 1800s, basically?
Well, I would say in Hotchkiss, the Hotchkiss block, it was called, which is where the old Hotchkiss Hotel, the Rainbow Cafe, and I believe there's Pilates there now and a restaurant and apartments upstairs.
Peonia really does still have a lot of older buildings. That I think most remarkable possibly is the Brass Hotel, and it has been completely renovated, and it is now a bed and breakfast. It does have the brick walls that are there are three thicknesses, and I also might mention that the Hotchkiss Barn, which there is an endeavor now to preserve it, that it does have a similar structure. Many of the bricks that are in some of the older buildings, such as the Bruce House that's on Highway 133, the bricks were built from soil that was just excavated from the basements of those buildings.
Wow.
It's kind of a landmark, that Bruce House. You go to Peonia and people will ask you a question. Well, it's so many miles past the Bruce House, and I think we still say that.
What do you think the heart and soul of this place is?
Our way of life. We really do want the agriculture interests that we have. We want to preserve that. And that is becoming important with our wineries. And I think the cattle and sheep, that industry still is, we hope that will be viable. And the minerals that we have here, the mines have been a driving economic force in our valley for many years. So many of our institutions and our just the fact that we have been successful as towns does have to do with the fact that they did provide they were an economic driver for the valley.
What do you think has changed here? To me, it seems that agriculture has actually gotten a little bit smaller here. It used to be a huge booming industry, it looks like, from just the amount of people that you see in the packing sheds and the train loads of fruit going out, but also as far as cultural changes, how have things changed?
One thing I would like to comment to was I think that we really were more homogenized before, and now we have a lot of diversity in our community and in the schools. Depending on what cultural events you go to, you may see a different group.
So you feel that the area has become more diverse as far as like political diversity?
We basically have probably been very conservative, and I would say that we have more people that are perhaps interested in environmental protection. Now, we always did have, ranchers and our hunters. I think they always have tried, to help with that. But I think there is a larger thrust for that in the valley.
And what can you talk a little bit about the changes to agriculture? First of all, one thing that really stands out to me in these photographs is how many women were working in the packing sheds and doing hard labor jobs.
Yes, they did. They had to help out because they were just needed. Now you see a lot of the orchards having to be pulled out, and some of them have gone towards growing grapes or else raising hay, because the cost is so high now to have an orchard, and you never know from year to year what the weather is going to play a part into it. So,
do you think the weather was more predictable back then?
Well, they didn't have the media that we have now, so they didn't really know.
Well, yeah, right. And, that's true, they didn't have weather reports, but yeah.
Yes.
But do you think that they just didn't have the fluctuation in...
No, I think it was there because in the fruit industry, they finally had freezes where the peaches literally froze to the roots and they lost the orchards. Initially, the valley was extremely rich, the soil, because the river had laid down a lot of that. And the river meandered. It wasn't actually, in banks and confined. So the soil was extremely rich.
Can you tell me about changes that you've seen within the mining industry? And what was it like when you were a kid compared to now?
My mother was a Girl Scout leader, and she arranged for us to go into the farmer's mine. And the farmers would now be a part of the Westmoreland. And we went in, and you actually could almost reach from side to side and touch the mine. And above your head, there probably wasn't more than maybe a foot or two before you touched the top. And they put headlamps on us, and we had boots because it was very, very wet down in the mine, and we had Mr. Bothman as our guide, and he had a vocabulary that the little girls had never experienced. And of course, it was pitch dark, except for just where the headlamps were. And the thing that stands out is we actually saw a dinosaur print in there, and it was outlined. It was as big as a bushel basket, and they had outlined it in chalk.
Wow. And they just let little girls go down there with headlamps. This was a Girl Scout troop?
This is a Girl Scout troop. I think there were 9 of us that belonged to that troop, and those were all friends of mine in my class. It would be unheard of now for something like that to happen. Until they had the unions in the 30s, these miners, they really were subject to what the owners did. However, we did have some really great mine owners, and Alex Bowie would be one of those.
A lot of the accidents and problems they had then, they didn't have the machinery that we have now, and the dust, they didn't have ventilation like we have now, so many of them got, like I was talking, my great-grandfather's minor consumption. It was just very few. If they worked in the mine, they usually didn't live very old age, died very early age.
Wages were very poor early. In fact, Clement Auden, who came from Belgium, he was making like 90 cents a day when he was there. Of course, our mines did better, and he became a mine owner, but originally the pay would have not been, you know, very, very much for the miners. They lived in a company house. However, Alex Bowie, he did have electricity for them there, and those houses in Bowie were sort of, I guess, ahead of their times. You know, he cared a great deal about his people.
Can you talk about sports, Claudia? Because I know that you have a little bit of a history with the sports and in this valley.
Of course, my association with sports is with my husband, Granville King, who passed away in 1989. And he was a coach at Peonia High School for a long period of time and actually then went to middle school. But his boys won the state championship of Colorado in football. And we did have the opportunity to get a picture in of that team, but our main thrust on that page was for an earlier team in the 20s that had won in football. And in that game, they played three different quarters, and Delta and Grand Junction and Peonia were involved in that game. And people went on the train to see that playoff, and Peonia came out on top in that playoff.
Why do you think the kids have been so involved in sports for so many years? What is it that makes this area so like perfect for that? Different schools are winning the state championship all the time.
I kind of think it's our agricultural background. We have people that are really strong, and we have had some of the finest athletes from the Somerset area, where this was very physical work that was done in the mines, and those boys were very strong, and they were standouts.
Can you talk a little bit about the picture of all the twins? There's an amazing photograph in this book where there's maybe 10 sets of twins in the photograph?
Yes, we're pretty proud of that. That's in the Hotchkiss chapter. Actually, when this picture was taken, I believe there was 15 sets of twins, and the type of picture back then that they did it with, it was taken in 1915. They couldn't get all of the twins in the picture, so they had to leave two sets of twins out. So there was 13 sets of twins. And in the book, I quote something that was written. A local saying at that time was, Hotchkiss raised peaches and twins. And we recently had a lady, a member of our historical society in Hotchkiss, who really worked hard and took each set of twins and researched the family, and she put it in a binder for us. Her name is Jean, used to be Sylvester. She's now Jean Romanicki. And it's just, you have to come in and see it because it's a beautiful thing to go along with the picture.
Where do you think this valley is headed? Just having been so immersed in its past, where do you think that it's headed and where do you see it going that you feel good about, and what are some of your concerns maybe?
Well, of course, the economy plays a big concern in this area. Since we do not have a lot of industry, we do have the mining. And I'll tell you, if that mining ever ceases, this valley will not be the same. We've seen, such as when Somerset went, I'd say, belly up, that it was a hardship on our valley. And so that mining is very, very important. The fruit, we're still well known for it, and I hope it continues in the wines. The wine country around here is phenomenal, and it's becoming more and more popular, more and more wineries. Very, very important. If we can keep all of that, I think we'll just be fine because we have these wonderful people to add to our area.
Do you see any new industries coming in that would be good? I mean, I know some people are trying to develop agritourism. Tourism, really. Do you see that growing and being a positive thing?
I don't think it'll ever be a big tourist area, but it's kind of a tucked away tourist, unknown, and then the secret gets out in a certain area of the United States or wherever, and people come here and they're just awed. And in fact, some of them end up moving here. It's kind of a little secret, kind of like the Crest Butte area, ski area. It's kind of been an unknown ski area, but if you've been over there lately, it's growing very fast.
Mm-hmm.
I think the main danger is that we might lose our agriculture, because I think with growth, there is land, you know, and probably good land that's going under housing. And so I would hope that we seriously would think about this in perhaps maybe a little bit more planning for the county so that we don't lose this land.
Do you think that the zoning laws need to be, that we need to have some?
That really is a problem, because out here we are extremely independent, but personally I do think that we do need some controls for that. I think we could control it, but we're going to lose our beauty if we, you know, it becomes destructive if we don't have some rules in place.
And I've been speaking with Kathy Adams McKee and Claudia Sutliff King, who recently put together a beautiful book called North Fork Valley. It's part of the Arcadia series, which profiles areas of the United States with photographs and history. Is there anything else you ladies would like to add about this book?
Well, I would like to thank the members of my Historical Society, especially the book committee. They actually got this all started, and they are Dennis and Laura Turner, Inez Potterov, Joan Queen, Marilyn Tate, and Karen Martin. And I hope I haven't left anybody's name out, but they are the driving force in our Historical Society, and we just kept talking about, we thought we needed to have a book around here, and we noticed the Arcadia books, and researched how to do a book there and decided that was the best way to go.
And I'd like to thank Kathy for bringing me on as a writer. Mm-hmm. I really have enjoyed working with Kathy. We've just had a wonderful relationship, and it's been so fun to share the history back and forth. And I really did not know as much about the Hoschus Crawford Lazier area. And so it's been fun to learn about that, although, of course, my heart is in Paonia and the mining areas.
Wonderful.
I could say the very same thing she just said.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Local Motion. And I hope everyone that lives here gets a chance to see this beautiful book and learn a little bit more about the history of this place.